God hears our prayers and he is gracious to us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you know, or maybe you don't, but today is a Thursday, and we have a service this morning, and in it we're celebrating Ascension Day. So it's a day that we've reserved, and we've given it a theme so that we can remember that Jesus left us behind. Now, it sounds terrible when you put it that way. Too often, that's how we take things in life. We take them and we say them on a negative side of things, and we don't see the positive side of things. We state the obvious, and it scares us. It takes our motivation away. It takes our breath away. It makes us angry, or we grieve and we cry deeply as ones who have no hope. Listen to this phrase. Jesus went to heaven and left us behind. That makes people who have no hope cry out and worry in fear. But others answer that phrase like this. They'll say, yeah, so? He's coming back to take us home when he's finished preparing a place for us. Can you see it? We don't need to grieve like people who have no hope. When people say things or when we hear things and they sound negative, we know the truth. That's why Scripture says the truth will set you free. It also tells us that living a faithful life is not about knowledge. But the more we get to know God, not just to know about God, we can know about him and still not be saved, but the more we get to know Jesus, the more we get to know God, the more things like this don't bother us anymore because we know that Father is in control. Jesus went to heaven and left us here. And our answer is, yeah, and he's coming back. And he's going to take me home with him. There is hope. I'd like to share a couple of things with you. And I do that throughout my service. I always count number one, number two, number three. So here's the first. Number one. In John 14:4, Jesus tells us that we know where he is going and we know the way. Now, some of the apostles were afraid to answer that because they didn't want to admit that they didn't know what in the world he was talking about. But someone did ask. I believe it was Philip. And he said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how could we possibly know the way if we don't know where you are? And then Jesus says, I am the way. Jesus is the place that we're going. And Jesus is the way to that place. We are safe in him already. We have so many doubts and fears, so many wonderings. There's so many things that we still need to know. And we try to be confident. We try to be sure. We try to act right. And yet we fear and we doubt all sorts of things. All we need to know is that Jesus is the place that we're going. Jesus is the way to get there. And that in him, we are already there. We are safe. Someday, we'll be face to face with him, and then we'll be safe in him still. We're safe in him now, and then we'll still be safe in him. Though we're already safe right now, we will be safe in him then. Second point. In John 16, Jesus tells us that it's very good that he leaves us here. That's when we get the Holy Spirit. As a teacher, as a guide. If Jesus doesn't go, we don't get the Holy Spirit because we have Jesus. And that means everybody has to be with him where he is all the time. The good news is, first off, that isn't physically possible. because we see how 5,000 people couldn't possibly stand beside Jesus. Now the good news is we have the Holy Spirit. Because we have the Holy Spirit, we are with him where he is all the time. Ephesians chapter 1:14 says that the Holy Spirit is a guarantee to those who belong to Father. Because he does this for us, it reveals his glory. So Jesus leaves us in order for us to receive a guarantee, to receive a ticket or a coupon, so to speak. And he is a teacher and a guide, one that doesn't expire ever for all eternity. And we know where he's going, and we know how to get there. That's the past. We know where he's going, and we know how to get there. That's the present. The past is being that we know him and where we went and how to get there. The present is following him with our Holy Spirit guarantee. Now we have the future. What is the future? All around us, we have doomsday sayers who are always telling us that today is the end of the world, or next week or next month is the end of the world, or that we're in the end times, or we're in the middle of the tribulation period. They say that the rapture has already happened and we're the ones who are left behind, or that the rapture is coming and we're not good enough and we don't get to go to heaven to be with Jesus. We need to get ready. We need to be ready. And here's all the uneasiness. This unnerves us and we're scared. We think, what if they're right? What if I'm not saved? Or how do they know? Like, how do they know? Or how can I know? How can I find out? Am I lost? Am I saved? Am I left behind? Will I be good enough? And see, those are never the right questions because they focus on ourselves. The right question is always this one. Who is God? Is he strong enough? Who is Jesus? Is he strong enough? It's not, am I good enough? Was Jesus good enough? And the answer is yes. Then we trust him. End of story. So let us be encouraged once more, even about our future. Jesus is the way to God, and we are allowed to believe him, and we have the Holy Spirit, a guaranteed pass to God's place, the heavenly kingdom. Jesus is the way. God is our Father, our Abba, our Daddy. The Holy Spirit is our guarantee, Ephesians 1:14. So take a deep breath. Take slow, deep breaths and relax. When we focus on ourselves, the law proves we will never be good enough. You cannot do it. That's why God gives us this gift. Take deep breaths. Relax in God's love right now and just have some peace. Is Jesus good enough? That is really good news. So just like Jesus left us behind so that we could receive all the good things from Papa, so too is our future. Jesus himself allowed himself to trust Abba while people whipped him, literally tearing him to the bone, and hung him on a cross to suffocate to death. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus took a deep breath. If you read the story of him kneeling in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was absolutely terrified. But he believed God more than he surrendered to his fear. The angels came and encouraged him while he was sweating drops of blood for the intensity of his circumstance. Instead of looking to all the angry and confused people in the world, he simply ignored the things that weren't in his control. Because it was never about Jesus being successful, it was always about Jesus believing God. Is God good enough? He said yes, and he trusted that God was in control and could turn this very ugly thing into very, very good for him. So let's hear that passage again. Jesus, who was terrified to go through this, was encouraged to stay the course, and he did, and it was horrible, but God was good enough. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him. And that's what's set before us. There is joy set before us. Jesus, who was good enough, it is finished. He endured the cross, despising the shame. So in other words, we can go through our hard times. Jesus showed us how. All we have to do is look at him, not at our performance, but at his. Was he good enough? Yes, he was good enough. So we can go through hard times, and we can flail. We'll do the best we can, but we will never give up on believing him. And it says here, despising the shame. And what that means is Jesus didn't take, because the cross was reserved for the worst people in the existence of crime. That was the worst torture and the worst punishment for crime. And Jesus, if he would have defined himself by where he was murdered, by where he died, then he would have been the worst of the worst of the worst. But he didn't let the cross define him. He didn't let the people's accusations define him. He didn't let his need for God's guidance in the Garden of Gethsemane define him. He let God define him. And he went through that hard time. He despised the shame. He didn't take that as his definition. He followed God. Now, the right-hand throne seat is the highest place in the existence of existence beside God's own throne. And that's what Jesus got, because he despised circumstance and trusted God. Jesus didn't value the world's changing opinions. One day Jesus was the best thing. The next day he was the worst criminal. Jesus didn't trust in the graspings of humanity, of world and popular culture. Jesus trusted his dad's definition, the foundation. So let's look at some facts. We are headed into the future, and it's uncertain. It seems uncertain. Matthew chapter 24, verse 26 and 27. So if they say to you, look, he is in the wilderness, meaning Jesus is here in the wilderness, do not go out. And if they say, look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus is coming again. And when he comes, everyone will see it and it will be clear. No one will be confused. Like lightning brightens the sky as far as the eye can see, Jesus will be clearly seen. As surely as the apostles saw him going up in a cloud, when he comes, we will see him coming. There will be no need for convincing, there will be no need for rumors, and there will be no doubt. We will be sure. Remember, we are safe in him always. We are safe in him still. My last passage of scripture that I want to share today, I have a bit more to say than that, but the last passage I'm going to quote, Matthew 24, verses 3 through 8. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be, And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Now realize, as they were speaking to him, they didn't mean after he ascended to heaven. He hadn't died yet. So they were asking him, when are you going to come? When are you going to restore your kingdom? Just like we read in German, when are you going to restore your Königreich now? Are you going to reset your kingdom now? And he said, those times are not for you to know. So here they're asking us, tell us when you're going to come to do this big thing. Because that's what they've been waiting for all their lives. Now the Messiah is here and they didn't understand God's plan. And Jesus said, see that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say that they are the Christ, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many people astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that you are not alarmed, for this must take place. But the end is not yet. The end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom will rise against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places, and all these are the beginning of the birth pangs. But the end is not yet, is what it said in verse 6. Jesus then continued in the rest of the chapter to describe many of the terrible things and horrendous things that have to come to pass at the end. But he is assuring them the end is not yet. Two things I believe that will strongly encourage us. Here I am counting again. Right now, we are living in the rumor part of the end times. There are earthquakes and hurricanes. There are wars and rumors of wars. There's all kinds of corrupt politics going on. Everyone wants to avoid World War III, but everyone wants to control the world. It can be very unnerving if we take our focus off of Christ. We are in the middle right now on this video. We can't even get together because we're in the middle of a worldwide pandemic. Do not be afraid. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that Father is God. He is not just a faraway God that is holding a stick and he's going to hit you with it. He is a close God that adopts you as his daughter or his son to say, you are family and I'm trusting you. Despise the doomsday sayers. And by that I don't mean hate them. Just don't take their stories as any value on you. Just wait and see what's going to happen. Trust, regardless of the world circumstances. Trust Father, regardless of personal health or finances or family circumstance. We do not trust circumstance. We give up control. We give up worry. We trust Abba Father. He is in control, and we take a deep breath of him, and we are full. Because he is good enough. We are in the birth pangs right now. We are in the middle of all kinds of signs that are pointing the end is coming. How do we know? Because he told us. We can see the signs, but the end is not yet. We can trust Father now. We can trust Father then. We can trust Father still. Lastly, this gives us the greatest confidence. I know that if we were to sit down and read the whole chapter of Matthew 24 and all of Revelations and all of the Old Testament prophets, that we could be nervous and afraid. But think about this. God, who adopts us as family, who is our Father, our Abba, did he tell us all of these things to scare us? He is a good, good Father. And does he tell us all these things to terrify us and tear us to our soul in fear? Did our great and mighty loving Papa give us scary things to come so that we would doubt and give up. Absolutely not. May it never be. That's what Satan does with good news. He comes up with controlling circumstances to terrify us. That's what we do with the flesh. We let controlling circumstances sway our focus while we focus on the inadequacy of ourselves and our limited strength and intellect and our circumstances which are out of our control. And then we give up trying. That's what Satan does. He encourages us to do that. That's what the flesh does. It gives up so and is controlled by doubt and fear. God loves us. And there's a reason why he's telling us all these terrible and scary things. Here comes the good news. He tells us all of these things because we're family and he trusts us. He can trust us to trust him. You see, since he knows that all these things are going to happen, no matter what it looks like in this world, he knows that this ends very well for you. He tells you all of these bad things so that you don't have to be surprised. If he didn't tell you, and then all these terrible things came to pass, we'd have to wonder, is God real? Was the message true? Am I following the right way? Is there any hope? Maybe none of it exists, but he did tell us. He told us so that when all these terrible times come, so that we're not scared. Because we know God knew all along. So when it comes, it's like if I'm at home alone, and then I turn around, or at least I thought I was alone, but I turned around, there's somebody standing there, I get so scared I don't know my own name for a second. But if I know somebody is going to be coming out of the room or up the stairs or in the house, and then when I hear noises behind me, I'm not terrified because I know they're coming. God tells us what is coming so that we can know. And then when it comes, now instead of being terrified, God said this would happen. And it's terrible, horrible things that have to happen. But God told us they would happen. Because he is good enough. And he trusts us. And now that we know that it's coming to pass when it happens, instead of doubting if there is a God, we can say, God is good. He told us this would happen. And then we can trust him. Jesus was hanging on a cross, torn and bleeding and suffocating. And people have said for ages since then, how can a good God allow suffering? He entrusts that information to us so that we can trust him and know that he's real. If he didn't tell us, then we would doubt that God even exists. But he said, Jesus, you've got some work to do. Now, that doesn't sound bad, but he told Jesus what that work was, and he was terrified, but he went anyway. And for us, too, to go through the hard times when they come is going to be terrible, terrible times. But we'll always know God told us this was going to happen. And then we can just say, I knew it. He is good. He loves us. I can trust him because he doesn't keep secrets from me. There will be no surprises. Yet we will be surprised and shocked and scared, but at least we'll know there is God. And he asks us, call me Dad. Come to my family. Now, through Jesus' hard work, he gets to be the best person with the best name in the best chair at the right hand of the throne of God. Father tells us that too. We are family. He trusts us with his secrets. He knows that the times will be very bad for the world, but we can trust him just like he entrusts us with his telling of our future. We are not in the end times. The end is not yet. Maybe it will be tomorrow. Jesus said it's not for us to know the time. But Jesus is coming again. And that's not going to be a good time either. That's going to be a hard, hard work. But this must come to pass. But now we know about it. So we don't have to worry, because God has already told us that this ends very, very good for you. Just trust him and wait on him and believe him till the very end. God is the place. Jesus is the way. The Holy Spirit is our reservation. It's a guarantee. He told us bad things because he trusts us. And we know that he knows this ends very, very well for us. Jesus ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says that we are seated in heavenly places right now in Jesus. He also is still coming back to get us. Still. This is still. It is right now. It will be then, and it will be forever. He is good enough. He can do it. We belong to him. We can worry, but that's pointless. We will worry. We don't have to worry. He will carry us. Papa loves us. We are Father's gift to Jesus, his inheritance for all his hard work. God's work is a glory to him for what he is capable of, and he not only made us, but he saved us after we spoiled. The world looks bad now. Unfortunately, the promise is that it's going to look much, much worse. But Father isn't far away, and he already tells us this ends very well for you. Don't worry about what you see in the world. I would say do the best you can. But better than that, just trust God. Don't give up hope ever. We are not perfect, but he will perfect us. Keep your eyes on Father. He is our love and our life. So wherever you're able and willing, let's bow before him and worship him from our heart. However the Holy Spirit leads, let's pray. We're bowing before you and praying, Father. You are our Abba, our Papa, our Daddy. You are our hope. We are not good enough. We give up too many times. But we can't doubt you. We doubt our ability. We doubt if we're good enough. And we focus on the wrong questions and we look at the wrong things. We look at circumstances in the world. But please keep training us. You are patient with us. Thank you. You have invited us into your family. While we were your enemies, you died for us so that we could believe you if we wanted to. Keep us thirsty to want to so that we can believe you. You are alive and you are good. You are good enough. You can do it and we can trust you. And as times get rough, help us to hope in you. You are our peace. Father, you took Jesus into heaven so that we could know how he was going to come back. Jesus, you left us here so that we could have the Holy Spirit, so that we could be with you always instead of just sometimes. Thank you for that gift. As hard as it was for them to see you go, but we know now that we have you continuously, but it's going to be so hard for us to go through the end. Please be with our children and our families. Protect us. We pray for help and for strength, and you give it to us, but we pray for it because you command us to do so. We believe you. Help our unbelief. We need you. Thank you for your mercy. All honor, power, and glory is yours forever. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'd like to close with a benediction that I've been using as I'm preaching through Hebrews 11 on regular service days. I'd like to close with the Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us also lay aside every weight and sin, which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. To Jesus Christ be the glory forever and ever. So go in Christ. He is with you. Let us believe him. Amen.